NFL cover guys on the move. Stephon Gilmore traded to the Dallas Cowboys. James Bradbury re-signed, but the Eagles release star cornerback Darius Slay. And are we going to get some Aaron Rodgers news today as the new league year begins on today's Peacock and Williamson?
NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson bring you expert NFL analysis every day in less than 30 minutes. Get an inside look into the NFL on the field and in the front office. With elite breakdowns, next level analysis, and in-depth information only for the real NFL fans. This is Peacock and Williamson, and it starts now.
Welcome to the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock alongside Matt Williamson at BD Peacock at Williamson NFL. Thanks everybody for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Free agency continues. Tampering period is ending, Matt, and the new league year is beginning Wednesday, and it is now officially 2023. Teams have to be in salary cap compliance, and all of these deals can become official. And we'll get to the Aaron Rodgers stuff that could be imminent here with the New York Jets momentarily. But let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles, Matt. And a shakeup at cornerback.
Yes, there is. First of all, I just wanted to wish you and all of our listeners a happy new year. I mean,
yes,
I hope everyone was good on New Year's Eve last night. Didn't get too crazy and bringing in the new year today at four. Gotta love it.
I just got back. I flew to Las Vegas overnight just to.
Sure. A little better.
You know, right. Year. Yeah.
I think this corner stuff is pretty interesting with the Eagles, and a lot of people mock them. I think they're 10 drafting the first or second corner off the board. And I think that makes all the sense in the world there. And even with their second pick in a deep corner draft, they can get the number two guy. I'm a little shocked that in the end, they ended up with Bradbury, not Slay. You know, I mean, they're a heavy.
The opposite, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought
it was going to be Bradbury that was going to be released and the draft pick would replace him. And it turns out they were able to re-up Bradbury on a 3-year, $38 million. That's almost $13 million per year, $12.7 million per year for the 3-year contract for James Bradbury. They tried to restructure Slay's deal to keep them both, and Slay wasn't amenable to that, and so he ends up getting released today.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Slay will be really sought after, because I mean, I think he's the better player of the two. I think he's got a little bit more consistency over the years. Oh, by the way, if you sign him, he doesn't hurt your comp pick equation, because he was released, so a big contract doesn't cripple you that way, which is great. Bradbury had a really good year. I think he's a little overrated, though, to be honest with you. I mean, they play a lot of zone. Slay's the better man coverage player. Bradbury's much more of a zone corner. And their life, I'm not picking on the Eagles, but their life as corners go in the NFL couldn't have been much easier. I mean, they played like the worst slate of games in the history of the league, awful quarterbacks, and had a million sacks. You know, like that's as good as it gets for a corner.
Darius Slay is getting up there in age, but so is a guy who was just traded to the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get to that in just a minute, Stephon Gilmore. But they're still playing at a high level. Both of those players are. But, you know, it comes down to the salary cap with the Philadelphia Eagles. They have a star-studded roster. They have a ton of draft picks to replace some of these players, too, which makes things a lot easier for the Philadelphia Eagles. And they want to build this thing smart. And maybe they weren't sure that Jason Kelce was going to be back. That's $14.2 million against the cap that they would have had to pay maybe Darius Slay or somebody else, if, you know, maybe even Javon Hargrave. But Kelsey's coming back, and I'm sure they love having Jason Kelce back, even though they drafted his eventual replacement, I think, in Cam Jurgens. In the second round last year. But let's look at overall what the Philadelphia Eagles did really quick. And I don't think they got better, but they have the draft to make up for that.
You knew they were going to lose more than they were going to gain. You know,
yes, is the case usually with the top teams in the NFL. Some teams are able to sort of retool and have some short term deals and pick up some veterans and some mercenaries and things like that. There might be some late free agency moves for some of those 1-year players that come in on shorter deals that are friendly to the cap to help you. You know, that are ring chasing and all that. But this is what the offseason has been so far, and it's only been 2 days for the Philadelphia Eagles. Javon Hargrave signed with the San Francisco 49ers, oddly enough, and the 49ers losing everybody too, but they did make one splash in Javon Hargrave. 4 years, 84 to the Niners. James Bradbury re-signed by the Philadelphia Eagles, 3 for 38. Andre Dillard goes to the Tennessee Titans. I don't think that's a huge loss for the Philadelphia Eagles, especially the money he made, 3 for 29 with the Titans.
Knew he was going to go. Yeah.
They lose TJ Edwards, starting linebacker, to the Chicago Bears, 3 for $19.5 million. They bring back Jason Kelce for one more run at $14 million. They lose safety Marcus Epps to the Las Vegas Raiders, 2 years, $12 million. Kaiser White to the Arizona Cardinals, 2 years, $10 million. They do retain Boston Scott, and they add Rashad Penny to the backfield from the Seattle Seahawks on a one-year, very low-level deal for the often-injured running back who's really talented in Rashad Penny, but taking a flyer on him, he only gets a $1.35 million for a one-year contract, and Miles Sanders looks like he's on his way out as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, again, a lot of their guys, Fletcher Cox, Minshew, you know, some of these dudes, you know, Namakong Su, are not signed elsewhere. So far, I think things have gone pretty well for the Eagles. Side note, Ryan and I recorded a Locked On Dynasty last night, and we both agreed that even if he only plays five games, I want Rashad Penny on my fantasy team. I mean, in that line, I mean, he's going to put up massive numbers for the month he plays or whatever. But they still have some holes. You know, D-tackle, linebacker, a Chauncey Gardner replacement, he's still out there, or bringing him back. But they do have a lot of draft picks, and this is – it's amazing. Today's the start of the league year. But I think right about now is when you'll start to get more team-friendly deals on the guys that are out there too.
Overall, if you were today, the start of the new league year, it's way too early. You haven't had the draft, haven't finished free agency and all that, but we're seeing sort of what the direction is for some of these teams. NFC champion, Philadelphia Eagles. Would you re-crown them as your favorite to win the NFC once again?
Right now, yes. I kind of like where Dallas is at. I mean, they're kind of out of sight, out of mind, and they picked up Gilmore, as we, you know, we'll talk about a little bit too. If your Niners had more clarity at quarterback, I would probably pick them over this version of the Eagles, who, again, are not done yet. They're going to add more draft studs than the Niners are, that's for sure, you know, especially in the early rounds. I didn't mean to turn this to the Niners, but I meant to say this the other day. You're going to disagree with me. I think Sam Darnold's going to start the year until Purdy's ready and Lance is going to get traded. I know that probably makes your hair on the back of your neck stand up, but I think that's why he was signed, by the way.
Look, with the 49ers, I'm never going to say no to anything, especially when it comes to quarterbacks with Kyle Shanahan, because it's just been a roller coaster.
And he was supposedly infatuated with him coming out of USC.
Yeah, and they do it. So the 49ers, the timeline, 2017, when John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan took over, they didn't have a quarterback. And their plan was, and it was a flawed plan now looking back, is like, well, we don't have a team to put around a quarterback, so we're not going to draft a quarterback here year one. They took C.J. Beathard in the third round, but they passed on, you know, famously, they passed on a draft that had good quarterbacks. It was Deshaun Watson, and they were sitting there at number three, and actually they moved down from two, one spot for the Bears to go get Mitch Trubisky. They didn't take Trubisky at two. They drafted Solomon Thomas. He turned out not to be great. They ended up with a second first-round pick. They traded back up to get Reuben Foster. So kind of whiffed on both of their first-round picks in the first year to start off a new franchise, and passed on Deshaun Watson and, oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes as well in the draft because of their plan. So sometimes you got to buck your plan, even though it seems like a good idea. Like, okay, let's build around the D-line, which has worked for the 49ers, and let's wait on quarterback. If the quarterbacks are there, you should still take one because it's still too important. So they that 2017 season, their scouting department, they went to work, and that was the year that Sam Darnold had an awesome year for USC,
right?
And you know, the 2018 draft, and Baker Mayfield, who, by the way, signed with the Buccaneers today. We'll get to that in a second. And so basically the timeline for the 49ers is they did a lot of work in that draft class, and you could see why Sam Darnold would be someone that the 49ers were like, oh, that guy's pretty good. But they ended up trading for Jimmy G halfway through the season, and probably still did some work and thinking about, should we sign Jimmy? Draft, but Jimmy played so well for the 49ers down the stretch, they couldn't win a football game until Jimmy G showed up. And
I remember that.
They signed Jimmy Garoppolo. They didn't dip into that draft class with, you know, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and everybody. But all of the moving chairs and trading up and Trey Lance and then Brock Purdy coming out of nowhere, then Brock Purdy getting hurt. If you just end up with basically Jimmy G again at quarterback, but it's Sam Darnold instead of Jimmy G, what was the point of the entire circuit? Jimmy G the whole time. And funny is Sam Darnold's a little bit more talented than Garoppolo, and he has some flash plays, and he was a good prospect, and he was the number three pick in the draft for a reason. But he's just bad more often than Jimmy G is. And bad Jimmy shows up too much for 49ers fans. They're going to pull their hair out if Sam Darnold is bad Sammy as often as he has been throughout his NFL career. I got a good stat for you here as it pertains to Sam Darnold, by the way, Matt. Maybe it'll help you rethink things. Sam Darnold has a 78.2 career passer rating, which ranks dead last among the 36 qualifying quarterbacks who have thrown at least 1,000 passes since 2018, the year Sam was drafted.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, his EPA, all his advanced numbers are horrific. They're really, really bad. I just think they love Purdy, and Sam's going to hold down the fort till Purdy's ready, and you might as well turn Lance into something.
Yeah, the only thing is, if it would have to be the offer for the 49ers, which is why I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think the Niners would get the offer they would need to move away from Trey Lance. But I do think that I think Sam Darnold with a healthy Lance, a healthy Purdy is QB3 for the 49ers. I really believe
it. I do too. I do too. I just don't think that's how it will shake out when it's all said and done. But we're planning on going down that road. We got lots of things to talk about.
Whatever it is planned, that's not what's going to happen for the 49ers. And they still would go lose the NFC Championship game, probably.
Yeah.
Will it be the Eagles or the Cowboys that the 49ers lose to in the NFC Championship game? Let's talk Dallas Cowboys next, Matt. They made some pretty, I think they're one of the winners so far to start free agency are the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
and of course, we're going to talk Aaron Rodgers and Jets with an announcement that may be coming as well from Aaron Rodgers next. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. It's the perfect time to download FanDuel, and it's, you know, NBA getting down to it. NFL draft props that are always fun and growing currently on FanDuel. And new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. Love the website. Love the interface. Building those parlays is so fun and easy. Then you can bet on everything. Money line bets, point scorers, three-pointers drained. I mentioned all the props that are available every night in NBA, every day in Major League Baseball with the baseball season getting going all summer long. Plus, FanDuel lets you combine those bets for a bigger chance at a payout with same game parlays. So don't miss the chance to win your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Dallas Cowboys made a little trade here for Stephon Gilmore, still playing at a very high level, even though he's going to his age 33 season, Matt, pairing with a young corner who's going to get paid next year. So this is just a 1 year, $9 million late fifth round trade here. So it doesn't cost a lot. You're just taking the money off the books of the Indianapolis Colts. By the way, the Colts have done absolutely nothing except for sign Matt Gay at kicker. They're like in a weird rebuild, but I don't think they have a GM, maybe I'm wrong, they can withstand another rebuild and be in bad for a while. They're kind of behind the eight ball. They get the third best quarterback in the draft. I think we're going to have a whole podcast on the Colts here in a few days. But the Dallas Cowboys get Stephon Gilmore, now have a really nice pairing of cornerbacks. They added Connor McGovern, they lost Connor McGovern, the center, to the Buffalo Bills on a three-year, $22.3 million contract. They kept guard Donovan Wilson, 3 years, $21 million. They kept Leighton Vander Esch, who, if I'm not mistaken, the Steelers were in on, Matt, two years for $8 million. Noah Brown goes to the Houston Texans, and they lose Luke Gifford to the Tennessee Titans. So overall, they haven't lost anything super important, I don't think. And they added themselves a really good veteran cornerback to help that secondary. And still have an opportunity to re-sign a lot more players and do some more business. But so far, just because of the Gilmore move, I kind of like where the Cowboys are coming into this year.
Yeah, and the one thing you didn't mention, sounds like is imminent, is Zeke is probably going to get cut, which is the right move. I mean, he's a big, big contract. I think if there's a next move coming for Dallas, it's trading for DeAndre Hopkins, signing Odell Beckham, adding one more weapon somewhere in this equation, some sort of pass catcher. But I'm with you. I mean, underrated moves, keeping Donovan Wilson, keeping Leighton Vander Esch. Both had good years, both are quality players, keep the bird in the hand, you know who they are. And then you throw Gilmore into the mix, who is still playing quite well. And I've been giving this a lot of thought because the Steelers assigned Patrick Peterson, who's even older than Gilmore. It's like history isn't very kind to 30-plus-year-old corners. But there are the Champ Baileys and Daryl Greens and elite guys that go for a long stretch. And I mean, and Stephon Gilmore, like Patrick Peterson, was an elite guy. Is he elite still? No, but he's still really, really good. And some of these dudes are just so gifted that they lose 10%. They're still able to hang as they gain knowledge and whatnot too, you know? So Gilmore and Peterson, Demir, both coming off good years and should help a contender like Dallas. So I love it for them.
It's just really hard for someone in their 30s to have that NFL cornerback athleticism. Is some of the most athletic people on the planet. Yeah. Like, that is just craziness to have that. And your mind can make up for a step, a half a step as you lose a step. But you start losing two steps and you either move to safety or you retire.
No doubt. I think when the end comes, and hopefully it doesn't for Gilmore or Peterson this year, it comes ugly. You know, I mean, it's like, wow, you know, all of a sudden he just can't keep up.
Especially with Peterson, the way he's built, how is he not already an NFL safety?
He was 220 pounds at his combine. I think that, I mean, he might be a safety when it's all said and done. Who knows?
If he wants to keep playing.
Yeah.
How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? It's not going to be the Kyle, it's not going to be tasking, or it's not going to be tanking with Trask after all. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have signed this move, breaking just as we started recording here. Baker Mayfield has reached an agreement on a one-year contract, according to Adam Schefter, up to $8.5 million with the Buccaneers. Your thoughts, Matt?
Quick buck note I wanted to mention yesterday was I'm kind of shocked, impressed that they were able to keep Jamal Dean. I mean, that's a good young corner. They're not quite blowing it up to the degree I thought they were. They restructured guys like Godwin and, you know, some moves that way. So they're not going to be bare bones junk, you know, like maybe the Rams get to, or, you know, tank time. So keeping Dean, I thought, was nice. So I forget what exact time of year it was when Watson got traded to the Browns, but it was, you know, basically a year ago. Since then, Baker's been on four teams. I mean, he goes from Browns to Panthers to Rams to Bucks. So if you're on four teams in a little over a year, not a ringing endorsement, especially for the first overall pick, you know, but I bet he's better than Trask.
I'd be willing to bet he's better than Trask. I think just that last little bit at the end of the season with the Rams probably helped Baker Mayfield, and it helped him get twice as much as Sam Darnold, basically, right? Because they were kind of on a similar path.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And even though Darnold actually played a little bit better too after Darnold was dealt to end the season with Steve Wilks. And by the way, Steve Wilks and Sam Darnold both with the 49ers now.
Okay. Didn't realize that connection.
Yeah.
They were good together for one another.
Right. So interesting there with the Buccaneers, and I don't know how many wins it's not full tank mode, I think, is what you can take away from
they're
competing, and, you know, bringing back some of their players, and they haven't lost anybody huge. They haven't traded away anybody huge. And Jamel Dean's a, you know, a good corner in this league, not top tier, but next tier, and 4 years, $52 million, $13 million per year. I think that's less than some of the top corners got in last year's class of free agents. So not a bad deal for the Bucs to bring back a really good player who I thought was going to get a lot of money in free agency. Got it from the Bucs.
Side note, which I meant to bring up earlier too, is I expected this group of corners and wide receivers to actually get more than they have in the open market. I mean, people overspend for those positions like crazy, but on the flip side, interior D linemen are getting paid like crazy, you know, like Draymond Jones with the Seahawks and all these dudes. I mean, Tomlinson, we talked about yesterday, that's a position that the league is showing is more important than people might have realized, you know, led with your guy, Javon Hargrave, of course.
Yeah, we got to get a cap guy on at some point this offseason to talk about team building and the way teams are changing, because more positions are becoming premium positions in the NFL.
Right.
So how do you counter that with the money that top quarterbacks are making? If you have to pay anybody who's a decent starting quarterback $40 million a year, and now interior defensive linemen, interior offensive linemen, tackles, of course, edge, wide receiver now, one of the most premium positions in the NFL. The guys who have to cover those receivers is a premium position. Like, you can start paying running backs a little bit less, but it doesn't make up for how much more you're paying some of those other positions. So more positions are being looked at as premium positions. Off-ball linebackers getting a lot of money as well. So how do you build a team? Because it used to be like, okay, quarterback, guys that get after the quarterback, guys that protect the quarterback, the pass catchers, the cover guys, and then there's a gap, and then the other positions. And then some of these other positions are sort of, you know, getting paid more and more and more, especially the top guys. So that'd be an interesting conversation of how do teams make up for so many so many positions becoming premium positions. There's all, you know, I've seen, you know, running backs and safeties, I think, are the positions that are really getting the brunt of it, because yeah, we're not seeing any big safety contracts. And it seems like there's so many good safeties in the league and usually decent safeties in the draft. And you can find a safety on the street late in free agency. And the same with running backs, although you need more running backs on your roster. Safeties don't get hurt as much, so you need fewer of them. So it adds to the, you know, there's more scarcity with running backs just because they get hurt more. So you need more, and you need more on your roster. But I don't know. How do teams make up for it is my question.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Well, first of all, the cap just keeps going up and up and up. So
that's true.
Know, it's all what percentage of cap is really what you need to, you know, how you need to address that. And I guess people probably know this by now, but running backs and safeties are the most common body type in the league. You might walk through the mall and see somebody that looks like an NFL running back or safety. You're not going to see someone that looks like a left tackle,
For a safety, any position that is based more on the mind than the body or starts to skew that way. Everybody in the NFL is a freak physically, even the guys that you think, sure, oh, this guy only ran a 4.7. I can't believe it. 4.7 is fast. 4.7 torches everybody, you know. You know what I mean? Of course. Right, but there's just more human beings that can be an NFL safety than could be a corner or could be a receiver or could be an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman or even a quarterback. Yeah.
And that brings me to D tackle. To start this conversation is I quickly learned in my recruiting time, the hardest thing to find was like 5-4, even 3-star defensive tackles. And they all went to Georgia and Texas, and, you know, we didn't get them at Pitt and definitely didn't get them at Akron, but those guys are getting paid heavily now, though. I mean, I think the league has really turned towards lighter boxes, Fangio, two high safeties. So that means you got to defend the run with a pretty good defensive tackle. So all of a sudden, you're paying Dalvin Tomlinson 4 years, $57 million, because if he can at least, you know, sustain a double team, I can, you know, slow down the run with lighter boxes. So all of a sudden, times have changed, and these interior D linemen are becoming more and more scarce and more coveted.
Next, Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets. Is it imminent? Is it a done deal? Trey Wingo seems to think so. Trey Wingo's insight on Aaron Rodgers, and we might have an announcement later Wednesday as the new league year begins that Aaron Rodgers is a member of the New York Jets. Next. Today's episode of Peacock and Williamson is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. If you've ever dreamed of being an NFL GM, well, this is the game for you. It is so fun to play. It is got some realism to it, and you're controlling every aspect of your football franchise. You can create yourself a dynasty, and you can create that thing for 25 years, build yourself into a juggernaut. And it's not as easy as you might think. When you play Ultimate Football GM, control and manage every strategic aspect. You are hiring and firing coaches and coordinators, running the specific scheme you want to with those coaches and putting the players in place to run that scheme, managing all the finances, including negotiating salaries and terms, navigating your franchise through free agency, of course, the NFL draft, injuries, player personnel issues, and all the ups and downs of a season. All this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM, completely free and playable offline, play on the go, and play as and when you want to. And Peacock and Williamson listeners will get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code LOCKEDON in the game store. That's ultimate-gm.com to go download the game, ultimate-gm.com, or find it on the app stores. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and the New York Jets, and that dance might be coming to an end Wednesday. Aaron Rodgers is on the Pat McAfee show, and unfortunately with the timing, it's going to happen right about the time we're done recording. And this might be where Aaron Rodgers has the control and is able to announce it to the world that a deal is imminent. Or maybe he just kind of does the thing and talks around it, and we still don't know for a few more weeks. And I think it's probably 50-50 on which one of those it's going to be. But a lot of people are going to be paying attention. And according to Trey Wingo, Matt, he had a tweet last week saying that it was pretty much a done deal that Aaron Rodgers was going to be a New York Jet. And then he was on with Ari Mirov of Pro Football Focus, my sports update. And he said this. He said, quote, "The tweet I put out is going to happen. The deal has essentially been in place since last Friday, and the holdup isn't Aaron." So as much as people want to say it's all about Aaron trying to stay in the spotlight, and Rodgers is, you know, ego and all this, and he wants the team to bring his guys in, and Alan Lazard signs with the Jets, and it might be Randall Cobb and Mercedes Lewis and Jordy Nelson joining him there in New York. Apparently, Aaron's already said it's cool, but the holdup might be other things, might be the negotiation between Rodgers and the Jets, and what that restructuring of contract will look like. It might be the compensation from the Jets to the Packers, mm-hmm. what they're going to get for Aaron Rodgers. And maybe the Packers think it's a 2 first-round pick situation where the Jets are like, he might be here for a year. We'll give you a third rounder, you know? So there might be mm-hmm. some distance there that has to be made up. So that's why this thing can't be announced. And it might be a holdup from the Packers side where they need to do things on board, and they want to be able to announce it correctly. And they're going to have they're filming videos of everyone that Rodgers has played with to say thank you for all your service. And, we'll have to put out a press release and all this. And so it's not a simple deal is what Trey Wingo is saying. And it's not actually even Aaron Rodgers that's holding this thing up, which is interesting angle to take in all of this. Are you buying what Trey Wingo is selling, Matt?
Half of it. I could certainly see, and you are seeing blurbs today, Packers want more from Jets than they're offering, basically, or they think they have to get a first or whatever. So maybe that, area of the compensation isn't done, but is close. Or as you mentioned, maybe Rodgers' contract's still a sticking point, where both sides can make it work. Side note, and I so wish I would have thought of this idea, but I've heard a couple people in podcasts I listened to joking about it. How great would it be if Rodgers convinces the Jets to not only sign Lazard, but his buddies Cobb and Mercedes Lewis, even though they have two blocking tight ends. And then Rodgers says, thanks, I'm going to retire. Thanks for giving my guys some jobs. I'm going to hang it up.
That would be like, you remember when LeBron had the decision?
Kind of. It's not my bag.
First left the Cleveland Cavaliers and went to the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. There was like this, it was all this buildup, and LeBron's a free agent. He's going to sign somewhere, and nobody knew where. And then he had this TV show, and it was like a 30-minute special, The Decision. And he was like at this charity thing with a bunch of kids in Ohio. And he's the Akron kid, his local. And I was like, he's not going to go through all this and then just light fire to the city of Cleveland and the state of Ohio and then go somewhere else. There's no way he's going to do that, because there's all this stuff, and he's going to announce, I'm staying with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm a local kid. I'm going to stay here, and we're going to win championships. And he's like, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. I'm getting out of here and going to Miami. I was like, oh man, that hurts, And so that would be brutal if Aaron Rodgers did pull that off. And look, Aaron Rodgers gets a lot of crap, and some of it deservedly, but he's a local California guy. We went to the same junior college, Butte College, near Chico, California. And he does a lot for the local community with COVID, helping businesses that were struggling, with the fires that happened up in Northern California. And he's a good dude deep down. I do think ego and fame changes things. And I think he's got a bad PR team as well. Maybe. And I think the way messaging happens and the way things come off and the way sometimes he comes off smug and, likes to just talk to people on podcasts because he's not saying anything weird that your uncle isn't saying, right? Or your cousin is saying or whatever. But it comes off weird from an NFL quarterback. And there's also fatigue, too, with all of this, with everything that went on in the offseason. We saw it with Russell Wilson. We saw it with Aaron Rodgers. When you're holding teams over the coals every offseason, and it's so much about you and your decision, and you're in charge, you're just going to turn people off. And I think Aaron Rodgers does get a bad rap, because I don't think he's a bad dude, but I think he's got a bad PR team.
And he's doing exactly the same thing Favre did almost, I'm sure Packers
maybe he learned it from Favre. He's like, oh, this is normal. This is how it works, right? You go to the Jets and you go back to the NFC North and play for one of the rivals of the Packers.
And then drag your feet forever. Don't tell anyone your decision, blah, blah, blah. I don't, I'm fatigued by it. I hope that the second we hit, the record button, that this is done. I've been looking at the Jets from all angles as if Rodgers is already their quarterback, just not knowing what they're going to give up. I do think it gets done in the coming days. I don't know what else to add to it. We've talked it to death. I mean, I think it'll be Love as a quarterback for the Packers and Rodgers as quarterback for the Jets, which is exciting. I assume Corey Davis will now hit the market with Lazard there. Mm-hmm. And, another thing about the league year starting, I wonder if Lamar talks start to heat up, because you weren't allowed to talk to him until 4 o'clock. He doesn't have an agent.
And publicly you can say, oh no, we're not interested. But yeah, right. Privately you're like, as soon as you're able to talk to him, which is right now today,
right?
You're the phone and you're calling, like, hey, what's going on, Lamar? Can we get this done?
And that'll be the next story. Is if Rodgers' domino happens to fall today, we're going to talk about Lamar every day going forward. I mean, that's just bound to happen.
And I think one of the keys here, and that's why tampering makes it easier, is a team that signs Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet, that's in limbo for a week before the Ravens decide to match. So they have to have their free agency ducks in a row first. That's hard to do in the first week of free agency because you need to be done. So that's why that might take just a little tick over, the tampering period. So all the tampering needs to be done. You have to have your financials figured out there. And you'd be like, okay, we can sit for a week and not sign anybody, or we can make sure we have enough room to still do some work while this offer sheet is just sitting there for a week for the Ravens to decide on.
I mean, this time of year to have 50 million, whatever it is, in limbo of cap money. Of
and I would imagine, money. Oh yeah. And I would imagine that you're structuring it in a way that it makes it hard, because you're not just going to do a regular old contract, because the Ravens, okay, thank you for negotiating it, and we'll match it. Right.
Right. Right.
And so it has to be done in a way that probably hurts you salary cap wise. And I don't know how many teams could even make that happen right now. And in fact, looking at what happened in the first week, is a team like the Colts, the fact that they haven't done anything in free agency?
Yeah, I was thinking that
too. Things open, is maybe that the angle, because that's what you'd have to look at, someone who has the cap space to be able to have that offer sheet signed right now. And there's not many.
Yeah, and we briefly touched on the Colts earlier. They did sign Samson Ebukam since we talked last yesterday. But really, their only move was dumping Gilmore for salary cap space. That's a red flag or an alert. And making Matt Gay the most expensive kicker in history, which I don't understand at all. But anyway, and meanwhile, this has affected Baltimore a ton too. No one has made fewer moves than the Ravens. They're the only team in the league that haven't extended one of their own free agents or added somebody from outside the organization. All they did was cut Calais Campbell. That's the only move they've been able to make. So they're just sitting there on their hands.
Wow. Lots still to come. The NFL world turns, and Matt and I are here with you every day to cover it. And it's time for another mailbag, a Twitter Thursday episode tomorrow. So everybody get your questions in, no matter what it is, free agency, draft, Rodgers, Lamar, at BD Peacock, can be off topic as well. Hit us on Twitter at BD Peacock, at Williamson NFL, with those Twitter questions. And we'll be back with you tomorrow. Your questions and all the latest around the NFL right here, Peacock and Williamson.